When we think of our servicemen and women, they are truly our friends. You know, you don't think of it that way, but we're going to look at a scripture here. John chapter 15. I'm going to ask you if you're able. Let's stand together. We're going to start in verse 12, and we're going to read down to verse number 15. Well, I'd rather verse 16. John 15, verse 12. And then I'm going to read, if you'll read along with me, I'll read aloud the scriptures here, if you're able to stand. John 15, verse 12, the Bible says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for an opportunity to take a worship service, and Lord, to be so thankful to you for the men and women that have given of their time, of their lives, of years to serve, to protect, and to guard the freedoms that we enjoy, that you have blessed us with here in our country. And Father, we are, as was mentioned in an earlier testimony, we are so blessed. But Father, it's so time for us to turn back to you, to put you first. And Lord, we can't wait for the politicians, the general public, Lord. It has to start here with us as Christians. And Lord, I thank you for a day that we can come and worship you. Lord, being so thankful for your many blessings, for putting in the hearts of men and women to go to serve. And I pray that, Father, we would look at the ultimate sacrifice, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would be encouraged by it to ourselves. Lord, if we're not saved, if someone here today is without Christ, to accept that. But also, Lord, to look at it as, Lord, an example to strive for, to serve as you have served and as your Son Jesus served. I ask that you bless this message. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. When I read chapter 15, verse 13, and I think of a day like Veterans Day or a day today in which we honor these veterans that are a part of our church, they truly are our friends. Going forward and leaving the comforts of home and going thousands and thousands of miles across the sea on ships, on sandy beaches, in jungles, on rocky hills, to literally go to lay down their life. To say, I'm here to fight. I'm here to fight for freedom. I'm here to fight for liberty. I'm here on the behalf of those who could not go. And what friends they are. What really sacrifice demonstrated when they go. And they know that going in. You know, you'll hear certain people disparage the men and women who have chosen to serve. You know, they don't know what they're getting into. Oh, that just fires me up. They know. And they have more than willingly gone. They know what they have to do. And certainly they are heroes to save us all. They are heroes to ensure our freedom. They are heroes to do what they do. I would challenge you. I was reading a biography about a man who served in Vietnam, and he fought on Khe San. Is that what the name of the hill was in Vietnam? It was Hill 860. He was a Marine. Is a Marine, and you know, the fact that, you know, it's in lore that here's this group of Marines, a couple companies, and overrun by the enemy multiple times. Mortared and shelled for 2 months, but they never gave the hill up. And that really touched me. I thought, you know what, that's commitment. That's sacrifice. To do that, to see friends and to see your buddies go through what they went through. We say to them, don't be a hero. But these folks who wear the uniform are heroes. And I thank God for them. And not only if they get medals, but they are heroes simply because they go for us. Isn't that a blessing? You know, as a father of four boys, I think about this a lot. Because I'm like, you know, a very good possibility that one or more of my sons will serve. And I thank God for a country with such freedom, with such liberty that God has given us. Indeed, Jesus Christ is though our ultimate hero, isn't he? He came. He gave all. And he rose again for our salvation, for our spiritual freedom. And I want to just go through Scripture this morning, and I want us to think about this thought. When Jesus here made this statement to his disciples, he knew what he had to do. He knew what he had to do. Just like those men and women who go, who don the uniform of our armed services, they know what they have to do. They face death regularly. They join knowing that they may be called upon to give the ultimate sacrifice, to come back maybe maimed both physically and mentally, but they go knowing what they have to do. And I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He came knowing what he had to do. When he says to the disciples here in verse number 13, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He knew what he had to do. We're going to actually walk through Scripture, and if you're able, turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. From the very beginning of Scripture, it was known what Jesus had to do, and he knew what he had to do. Being God eternal, being the Son, he knew it was from time eternal, he knew what he would have to do. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, here we have the first mention of the gospel. You'll hear it sometimes referred to as the proto-evangelium. It's the first gospel, the first mention of this gospel here. And he says, and God declares to Satan, the serpent, he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Jesus knew it was written of him there. He knew what he had to do. It was clear what he had to do. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, when Abel brought the firstlings of his flock, the Bible says, "And of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." You know what? That first sacrifice, that at least recorded in Scripture, of the blood shed for sin, Jesus knew what he had to do. It was clear. When Abraham offered up Isaac as a sacrifice, as he raised that knife and there caught in the clutches of a rugged tree was a ram as a substitute, Jesus knew what he had to do. It was clear. Every time a sacrificial lamb was offered for sin, the sins of God's people, as that spotless lamb was slain, as the blood poured out, Jesus knew what he had to do. Go, if you would, to the book of Psalms. And we're going to look at Psalm 22. If you'd rather just write them down and listen, that's fine too, but certainly feel free to turn. Psalm 22, verse 1. As David here prophesies, I don't know that he understood that he was uttering words of prophecy, but indeed, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what he's doing. When David writes these words, he says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" Jesus knew what he had to do. From age eternal. Go to Isaiah, if you would. I said we're going to be bouncing, and I'm walking through Scripture today. Isaiah 52, and then we're going to look at 53 as well. Isaiah 52, verse 14. Again, more prophecy, speaking of the sacrifice that Christ was to make. He says here in Isaiah 52, 14, "And many were astonied at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man." Speaking of Christ. Now go to 53, verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." From age eternal, as God reveals to us His plan through Scripture, that mystery yet to be revealed, as referred to over and over again, and Paul speaks of a mystery, the mystery that Christ was to come to be that perfect sacrificial lamb to take away the sins of the world. He knew what He had to do. He was born despite Satan's attempts to end the line of Christ. In Genesis 13, Sarah nearly became a part of the harem of the king. Isaac, too, lied about Rebekah, and she nearly became a wife to the king there. Satan tried to annihilate God's people in Egypt and the Babylonian captivity. Herod's orders to smite the Jewish boys born under those under 2 years old around Bethlehem. But what? He was born, God in the flesh, knowing what He had to do. As He's there in the temple at the age of 12, and His parents, oh, so fretting, so worried, where is he? Where might he be? And they find Him in the temple, and He responds to His parents, "Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He knew what He had to do. When John the Baptist introduced Him as, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world," He knew. His whole life culminated to that point. He was reminded of it when Satan tempted Him in the wilderness, tried to get a hand over Him right on this earth. It was on His mind. If you go to John chapter 12, now we'll go back to the New Testament if you're able. John chapter 12, look at verse number 24. Jesus Himself speaking of events to come. And He says here in John 12, verse 24, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Who's He talking about? Himself. I'm about to die. It's coming. On His mind with its healing miracle He performed, every parable He told. On His mind, if you go to Matthew 16, verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." Peter, wishing it not to be so, of course, rebukes the Lord. And what does Jesus say? "Get thee behind me, Satan. I know what I got to do. From age eternal it's been planned. This is God's will. I know what I must do." Then in chapter 17 of Matthew, in verses 22 and 23, you see again He says, And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him, and the third day He shall be raised again." And they were exceeding, what? Sorry. Grieved. Perplexed. Chapter 20, verses 17 and 19. Jesus was not ignorant of what He knew. He came focused. "This is what I must do." Chapter 20, verses 17 through 19, the Scripture says this. It says, "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify Him. And the third day He shall rise again." All they could focus on was this bad news that He was going to die. But over and over again, Jesus said, "I will live again." He knew what He had to do. All along, He understood what even those closest to Him did not understand until after His resurrection. We think of Jesus Christ carrying His cross, certainly literally, on that road to Golgotha. But He carried it for 33 and a half years. You realize that, right? He knew what He had to do. And I am so grateful as we look to His example, certainly as we celebrate and honor the men of our church that have served. Praise God for them. But what a beautiful example we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born knowing what He had to do. Every miracle, every message, everyone healed, every step closer to that day when He was to fulfill the will of God. As He bore in His mind the burden of that cross, day after day after day. Even as a 12-year-old boy, recognizing and saying to his parents, who really didn't probably fully understand what he was saying, "I must be about my Father's business. I'm here to do one thing. And in the end, I'm here to die, to be the Savior of the world." Amen. Have you accepted Him? He came to do what He had to do. He came to lay down His life, to see and have His blood shed for the sins of every man, every woman, and every child. We go back to our text. He says, "I don't see you as slaves or servants. I see you as friends." People say, "Well, I'm a pastor, I'm a very religious person. I'm spiritual." A lot of people are spiritual nowadays. Being spiritual doesn't make you right with God. The only way to heaven, the only way into God's good graces is to recognize exactly who you are and what you're standing before God is. And all of us are lawbreakers. All of us have broken His law. Those Ten Commandments are not given so that as suggestions, but they are the law of God. Just as we look at the Revised Code of Washington, right? The RCWs. That's the law of the land, my friends. As we look at our Constitution and say, that is, right, the law of our land. This is the law of God. And every man, woman, and child at some point in some way has broken God's law. We've transgressed one of His commandments. And as a result, there's a price to be paid. And my friends, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You and I, the Bible says that we are condemned before God. If you read John 3:16, of course, our theme this year being God's love for us so we can demonstrate God's love towards others. But if you look at the latter part of John 3, a lot of people love verse 16, and rightfully so. What a wonderful truth is contained therein. But if you look at verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not," listen, my friends, "is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Every man, woman, and child without the Lord Jesus Christ stands before God condemned, and someday will face the righteous and holy judge and will hear sentence passed down, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What a sad, horrible day that will be. But He came, knowing what He must do. He came because in His heart and His mind He saw the masses entering hell. And He came and He said, "You know what? I will die for them. I will take their place. May God's wrath and His judgment fall upon me." And it did that day on the cross. As He hung there, as He bled there, God's wrath for your sin, He bore it. God's judgment for your sin, He bore it. He who had done no wrong, He who had lived a perfect life, hung there and bled there for you. You say, "Pastor, maybe you're today like the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved?" is what he said to Paul. What must I do to be right with God? What must I do to know that if I died, I would go to heaven? I'll tell you my friends. It requires repentance, a change of mind about your sin. You got to see it like God sees it, worthy of hell. Oh, most people don't like that. Well, I'm not that bad. God begs to differ. You can either believe it or not. But he's going to be right. And the moment you see your sin as God sees it, you change your mind about your sin. That is, it goes from thinking, well, it's not that bad, to saying, you know what, it's deserving of hell. At that point, you say, you know what must I do to be saved? Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus, save me. I accept you as Lord and Savior. I don't want my sin anymore. I know where it's going to take me. I want you. And you know what the Bible says? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you do that today? Listen, my friend. Oh, you say, Pastor, I'm a good person. You're not thinking. Those Ten Commandments, if you've broken even one of them, there's punishment. You say, well, I've been a good person since that point. There's still punishment. Will you accept Christ? My friends, we are privileged to have amongst us men, and at times women, who have been our friends and who are our friends, who have laid down their lives and put their lives right on the line. They knew what they had to do. And so do we. We know why God has left us here. If you're a Christian, you know what your part is. Your role is clear. We must be willing to give up our lives for Him. To lay it on the line for Him. We must teach that, train our children. You know what? To serve Christ, to give up your life for Him, there's no greater honor. Not live for yourself. I think of veterans, right? I mean, how much easier it would have been to stay home, to enjoy, right? But to say, you know what? I'm willing to leave all that behind. To be shot at. To face danger. To be called possibly to give of the ultimate sacrifice in my life. Because I see that the liberties and the freedoms that compose our country are much more valuable. And you know, Christian, listen to me. Listen to me, David. You with me, bud? What we have to look and say is, you know what? As the old quote says, right? Right? Only what's done for Christ will last. You only have one life, right? I'm willing to give my life for Him. He has done so much for me. He is my friend. So two parts to this morning, and I'm done. I'm done a little early. Listen to me now. Are you saved? Are you right with God? If death were to be something you face today or in the near future or sometime down the road, we know this. It's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's one thing. Death and taxes that no one escapes, right, as the old saying goes. And you were to pass on from this life to the next. And you stood before God. And He said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would be your response? Well, Pastor, I was a good person. Or God, I was a good person. Or God, I tried to do my best. God, I think my good outweighed my bad. You know, if any of those things are your answer, God's going to say, I don't depart from me. I never knew you. The only way to be right with God and to gain entrance into heaven is this: God, I was a sinner, but I've been saved by the blood of your righteous Son. Check the books. Yes, His name is found. Her name is found written in the book of life. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So really the question is, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with His sacrifice on the cross, with His shed blood? What will you do about your own sin? Will you continue to justify it and say, you know what, it's not that big of a deal? Or will you see it as God sees it, as worthy of hell, as worthy of death? God, I am a sinner. Jesus, save me. That's weird. All right. What we do. That's what it is. All right. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll shut the door here. What will you do with Jesus? We traditionally don't have an invitation. I feel it's kind of times people just can be manipulated by it. But I do want to ask one question and be this. Is there anyone today say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm a Christian. And Pastor, it troubles me that I may someday stand before God and He may say to me, depart from me, I never knew you. And that troubles my soul, it troubles my heart. I will not embarrass you, I will certainly not call your name out, but I would like to pray for you as a pastor. When in Scripture it says, no man cared for my soul, I care. And more than anything, God cares. Your soul is of innumerable value. Is there anyone today say, Pastor, I will lift my hand and I will ask you, will you pray for me? I don't know that I'm right with God. I don't know that heaven would be my home. I'm not 100% certain. Will you pray for me? Anyone at all, raise their hand. Can I pray for you today? Second question is this, Christian, what are you doing for the Lord? He 33 years, He carried that cross. Will you live for Him today? Will you give your life to Him today? And say it's worth it. Just like these men that have served, gave of their lives, of their years to serve our country. You know what? He asks of us, will we serve Him? Will we give our lives to Him? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for this day. I pray for those here today that are without Christ, that in some way, Lord, they're uncertain of where they stand with You. Pray today would be the day of their salvation, that the Word of God, the message from Your Word, would speak to their hearts. That, Father, they would not go another day even, Lord, that Your convicting Holy Spirit would lay heavy on their hearts, and that they would come to know You. I pray for us as believers, Lord, thank You for the men and women that are veterans, that have given of years, Lord, to sacrifice and lay their lives on the line for our freedoms, for our liberty. And Lord, what a reminder of how we all need to give ourselves to You. To lay our lives on the line, to say, you know what? I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. May we understand what we have to do. Just like the Lord knew what He had to do. Help us to understand what we must do. What You are asking of us, that we give our lives a living sacrifice. Father, we thank You for this time together today. I ask that You would bless the food and the fellowship, Lord, that is to take place afterwards here. Thank You for the hands and those that have put so much effort and time into preparing. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anything before we go?
Our children would like to serve our veterans.
Perfect.
We are going to go with your daily grab a seat and you're going to serve them food. And it's going to be like, feed the honey, lots of kids, and, you know, so be patient with us. But we would like to do that more.
Excellent. So let's do that. If you would go in the back and see a table set up, and then our children are going to help serve our veterans, and I'm sure others as well as we need to. Yes, Mrs. Eisen. Oh, thank you. Let me grab one. So, we got these little toy soldiers, and they're not for the kids to play with necessarily, but they're for you to remember to pray for our men and women that are serving even today. Just even here recently, we've had men and women that have given their lives. I think at Bagram, there was a bomb just a couple days ago. Pray for our men and women that serve. Amen. And so grab one, put it in your pocket, and pray for our folks each and every day. Amen. Thank you, Vanessa. All right, let's be dismissed, and thank you again. What a blessed day.